Good morning. How are we doing today? Good. Good morning. Isn't that beautiful to read? Yes. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it is just a beautiful thing to sit under Scripture and let it wash over us. And we're actually going to be using Psalm 23 today kind of as some guardrails. Actually, better way to put some train tracks to follow down today as we understand and dive deeper into the idea of wisdom. Last week, we kind of started on our little couple-week journey of talking about the idea of wisdom, and what we saw was that there is wisdom literature in the Bible that is pointing us to this truth that is continually calling out to us, and we as people, we have a choice as to whether we'll listen. Now, there are really simple, almost funny analogies of social media when you just know you shouldn't post that or say that, right? And then there's deeper things in our life where truly, at the end of the day, we have a choice. Do we listen to wisdom? Do we listen to truth? Or do we go our own way? So what we talked about this last week was that wisdom is calling us to a big, abundant life, like a big life full of the best things in life. And then what we were to do this last Sunday and then this last week is almost hold a mirror in front of us and look at our own lives and look at what's going on in our world and say, am I living this life? Am I living the big, abundant, full, joyous life that I was called to? And if not, then we have some work to do. I think all of us have some work to do. And the idea of wisdom, as a recap, is that wisdom isn't just being smart. It's not just having good grades on a test, right? Wisdom is the idea of having skillful understanding in each area of life that I'm called into. So I want to have a skillful understanding of how to have healthy relationships. I want a skillful understanding of how to be married or be a parent or operate at your workplace or anything, right? Our job is to have a skillful understanding, and that's what wisdom is calling us to. Now, here's the thing. We started with the book of Proverbs last week, and what Proverbs tells us is that there is a clear cause and effect relationship between doing the right thing and being rewarded, right? There's these principles in life. Most of us know wisdom. When we think about wisdom, we think of like a fortune cookie, right? And there's this little nugget of wisdom, and if I live my life that way, good things happen. If I don't live my life that way, not good things happen. But here's the thing. This isn't always how the world works. So that's the wisdom of Proverbs, and that's not the only wisdom we find in the Scriptures, right? Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes and Job. And what we're going to do is we're not going to dive in. I shared last week, we spent months in these books a few years back, and I'd love for you guys to check that out online. But what we're going to do is kind of have a 10,000-foot view of the idea of wisdom through last week, the book of Proverbs, and then this week, the books of Ecclesiastes and Job. And here's what we want to look at. Proverbs is telling us, what should I do and how should I do it, right? The nuts and bolts, action steps, all right? External things. What should I do and how should I do it? Ecclesiastes and Job is saying, why should I do it, right? And those are different questions in our life. And sometimes we are in a mode, in a place where all we have to do is say, what do I do and how do I do it? I already know who I am. I know why I'm here, and I just need to do it, right? And there's other points in our lives that there's deeper, more soulful questions that need to be asked, like, why are we doing this in the first place? And here's why. We need to bring our outer life and our inner life into a beautiful dance together. This big, abundant life happens when our outer lives, what we do, and our inner lives, who we are, dance together. Have you ever seen the show Dancing with the Stars before, right? If you watch episode one and the very last episode of the season, it's a totally different experience, right? Right, if you ever danced with someone, right? A bunch of you guys have really good dance moves, right? This is a good dancing church right here, right? Right? Some of you just winked at me like, no, don't make me dance, don't, right? Right? And here's the idea, though. If I just call you out on the dance floor, all right, and say dance right now with the partner, you may have a couple moves. But the more that I call you out onto the dance floor and the more that you get to know each other and the two of you feel it out and where each person is stepping and who's leading and who's following and how that's working, by the end, it's a beautiful dance. That's when dance is at its most beautiful, right? When two become one. And so that's what we want to do with our inner life and our outer life, what we do on the outside, but also what's going on inside of us, right? And so we want to bring before God all of these things and say we want them to dance together well. I think what most of us have to admit, there's times in our lives that they don't dance together well. What's going on inside of us does not match what's going on outside of us. We have a face that we put on, right? And so what we want to do is be honest about where we're at. Now, here's the thing. There's things that happen in our life continually that kind of mess up this whole dance that we're trying to walk in wisdom, right? In psychology, there's what's called an event. And an event is an experience that changes your reality, right? Does anyone remember where they were on 9/11, right? Yeah, right? That's a shared experience that we all had, right? That we all had that changed reality. 9/11 changed things. Right? It just changed what happened before 9/11. You couldn't take all the puzzle pieces and put them back together again to make what happened after, right? So that's a shared experience that we all had. But each one of us have events in our own life that change things. This can be positive things. This can be a marriage. This can be having a child. This can be a career. This can be a relationship. This can be positive things that all of a sudden I experience this thing and it changes everything after that. Right? Not just changes the external, but it actually changes on some levels who I am, right? It speaks into who I am. I'm now a father. I'm now a husband. I'm now a friend. These are different things. They change us. And the other side of the coin is true as well. There's negative events. There are hard events. A divorce, losing a job, a diagnosis, losing a loved one. These can change us, all right? These shift what is reality, and they cause us to ask some questions. Some events fracture the very bedrock of our lives in a way that prevents us from putting it back together in the same way as before. They cause us not only to ask, what do I do now, but also, who am I now? Right? Some of us have experienced moments like this in our lives. When I was 20 years old, I got a phone call at work from my mom that said, you need to come down to the hospital because something happened to Grandma Helen. Now, I was blessed to grow up in a very awesome family, very stable family that got together. That was Sundays, our church was getting together on Sundays and barbecuing and eating and eating and then eating some more, right? Anyone have blessed in a good cooking family, right? Oh, it's like one of the Lord's blessings, right? And so we'd get together and it was ribs or it was steak or it was whatever, but good food to be had all the time, and we gathered. And so that was like, those were the mainstays in my life, and especially around holidays. And we had these traditions, right? We had these traditions where, inside of the tradition of just gathering together on Thanksgiving, there were traditions inside of that. Like Grandma Helen always made the mashed potatoes, right? No one else got to make mashed potatoes, right? This person made this thing, this person made this thing. That's just what happened. And from age 0 to 20 in my life, I was an incredibly blessed person where I didn't have things change quite a bit. That's just what it was. Everyone in my life was an evergreen tree, right? Not a sapling, right? And so all these things were evergreens in my life. And I got this phone call to come down to the hospital, and so I rushed down to the hospital. And when I got there, my family was not in the hospital. They're outside of the hospital. They're standing outside. And this is the day before Thanksgiving. And I ran up, and they grabbed me before I got there, and they shared that Grandma Helen has passed from a heart attack. And at 20 years old, I didn't have, skills yet to deal with this sort of emotion. And so I'll never forget my family trying to hug me and support me. And I turned around and I ran a few feet away. And I'll never forget looking up at the skies and what they look like and seeing the clouds. And I can see it today. And then cursing the skies and letting God have it, right? Because the only tool I had to deal with this at 20 years old was rage. That's all I had. Right, so I started yelling. And for me, what was going on inside of me was, why would you do this today of all days? Why would today be the day? Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Who's gonna make the mashed potatoes, right? And I had no framework to deal with loss on that level. I had never dealt with it before, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And so I went to rage, right? I went to Rage, and then what I ended up doing is, since I was at work, I told my family I had to go back to work, but that was actually a lie. As I went home, and I turned on ESPN, and I watched sports for 4 straight hours, because I had no idea how to do the work necessary to learn what I needed to learn through this situation, so I went numb. I just went completely numb, right? That event changed my world. Grandma Helen was at everything I ever went to, right, in terms of family. She made food for it. She was there. She was a staple. Every birthday party, there was a card. There was every Christmas. There was. She was that grandma that gave pencils. You ever had that grandma, right? And then she wasn't. And then after that, there was no way to put those experiences back together the same way again. Some events fracture that for us. And it wouldn't take long for us to sit down and us to identify those events, the loss of someone in our life, the joyful moments in our life. And those events take time to process, right? Because they not only change our external life, they change our internal life. And our job is to get with the God of the universe who speaks love and grace and wisdom over us to see what parts of me have really changed and what parts just feel like they're changing and what's truly different. And these are the questions that are asked in Ecclesiastes and Job. Over 40 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, the author says, everything is hevel. This word hevel is a word for vapor or mist. So think of vapor, mist, smoke. The characteristics of smoke, if you think about it, it changes form. And when you're stuck in it, it's impossible to see. There's questions that are being asked in the book of Ecclesiastes that are not just, what do I do now? But truly, what's the point, right? When I look at life, and maybe you've sat in a moment like this where you had goals and you had dreams, and I'm going this direction in life, and an event happened that fractures, that changes things, that causes you to go, who am I now? In light of this new experience, what do I do now? What's the point in the first place? Everything I grasp at, I can't seem to grab, right? These are the questions being asked in Ecclesiastes. The book of Job. In the book, Job loses his family and all of his possessions. And in Job chapter 3, he says, curse the day I was born. So there's these deeper questions being asked, not just what is the right way to do this, but where do I even do what I need to do out of, if that makes sense. What's the foundation? What's the reason? What's the why that we're here for in the first place? This space that Job and the author of Ecclesiastes that we see that they're in, we see them consistently in the Bible, this space. In the Bible, we see Adam and Eve, Moses, Israel, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, David. We see whether it's called a wilderness time, a desert time, a cave time. We see this consistent times where people are going into these places and having to ask these soul deep questions. What's the point? Why are we here? Why are we doing this in the first place? What I want to do this morning, as we saw in Psalm 23, is I want to spend a little bit of time unpacking this psalm and looking at it through the framework of wisdom, of going, what does it mean in light of this to live a wise life, and how do we do it in light of events that fracture us to our soul? And look at where do we go? And what do we do, and how do we be in light of that? So what I want to do, again, is just read Psalm 23 over this, over us, and then unpack it a little bit together. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. There are a few things I think we need to grab out of this text that are really important. The shepherd God, right? When you think about the idea of a shepherd, this shepherd God doesn't take a wrong turn into the valley of the shadow of death. So here's the idea. A shepherd directs the steps of the flock, right? The rod and the staff are saying consistently, step here, don't step here. This is a place of life. This is not a place of life, okay? This is what the shepherd does, right? The shepherd does not make a mistake when he leads into the valley of the shadow of death. What it says is that we are to walk through it, all right? And so there's a few things to see. There are green pastures in this place that God is telling us to go to, and he's telling us to lie down in those places, and there are valleys that we are to walk through. The process of faith formation, of transition through to maturity in Christ, is a process that inevitably contains darkness, doubt, and desert wanderings. Though the experience is both confusing and disconcerting, the other side of the desert brings a far deeper and richer faith. St. John of the Cross writes in his noble work, The Dark Night of the Soul, that souls begin to enter into this, the wilderness, the desert, the cave, right, that hard place, when God draws them out from being beginners. When there is a second step, another, a next, a deeper place of intimacy that we are going to, that we are to go into, that this place we are drawn out into. And we have to realize that there's a place of soul searching and self-examination that takes place in this wilderness or desert or cave or whatever we want to call it. Those are the places, the setting in the places in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that's your setting, right? If we were to sit down and talk one-on-one and write down and look at what have been the places of desert in your life. And what wisdom is calling us to understand, this deeper level of wisdom, is there is a difference between places that I am to go, these green pastures that I am to lay down in, and there's a difference between the valleys that I am to walk through. What happens honestly and very often in our lives is we lay down in valleys and we walk through green pastures, all right? Both of these things are necessary in our life. Now, I want to kind of talk about a few of these areas that, and inside of it, your job here, because this is always I'm not doing all the work here, okay? You have job to do here as well. Your job is to be continually asking the question, what are green pastures that God has given me in my life? And what are valleys that he's asked me to walk through, all right? And we're going to unpack that a little bit deeper. Now, green pastures are places of refilling, of re-energizing, of nourishment, and those are the places I'm to stay and rest. I found a wonderful quote this week by Henry Nguyen. It says, it's talking about friends, because for a lot of us, friends are places of nourishment, right? We have people, they're safe places for us to wrestle through things. He says this, you will always need people who do not need you, but who can receive you and give you back to yourself. There are times in our lives that we get lost, right? That we lose ourselves. And the job of a friend, you look at the New Testament that describes Jesus as a friend to sinners. The job of a friend is to recognize who we are and to sit with us and to identify, oh, well, that's not you, right? And then give us back to ourselves. Sometimes we lose our way. And our friends are these healing agents that sit around us and sit with us through hard times and identify what that's not you right there. I watched a series once of these two counselors, and they're married, and just think about that situation, two counselors married together, right? Maybe like counseling each other through that. But they had this wonderful thing that maybe you've been in an intimate relationship before, but anyone recognize that we're not always at our best in a relationship? Like, you ever have an off day, an off moment, an off sentence, right? Never. Not this church, right? But other churches down the road. And they do this beautiful thing in their marriage when someone just says that thing that they probably shouldn't say, that sharp sentence or anything, and they say, and the spouse that just received it looks at him and right in the eyes and say, oh, where'd you go? Where'd you go? Right? That's not you. Where'd you go? Right? And this is the idea of friendships, which are only a small expression of what God does with us in these wilderness places and these lying down places, is that we are to go to places consistently that refresh our soul, that remind us of who we are. We go through really hard things in life, and they shake us, at our core, and we oftentimes we lose who we are in those situations. We go to coping mechanisms that work. We go to things that aren't green pastures and ask them to be green pastures. You know, we don't have to raise our hands, but anyone here go to food as a green pasture? Right? We go to it asking it to be a green pasture. We ask for it to be a true place of nourishment. And there are certain foods that nourish our bodies, and there's a lot that don't as well. All right? And there's unhealthy relationships that we continually go to. And every single time, we have this internal expectation that this is going to be a green pasture for me. All right? And our job is to go to God and say, what is a green pasture for me? Prayer is a green pasture. All right? Studying and understanding the Word of God are green pastures. Here's my question. Do you lie down in those places? Or do you walk through those places? All right? Do you lie down in the words of God? How beautiful is it when we sit and we just unpack? These are just a few sentences in Psalm 23, and how deep and how rich these words are. What are green pastures in my life? Or even farther questions, who are green pastures in my life? Right? Have you ever really thought about that? That you might have friends and people in your life that are safe for certain areas but not for others? Right? And all of a sudden, this is not a person. I sat with a 22-year-old man this week, and I watched the light bulb go off in his brain as he realized he's trying to make some changes in his life, and he realized that his best friends, though they love him and they would fight anyone for him, are not going to be ones that can lead him out of the place that he's in right now. He needs other wisdom. He needs external wisdom. He needs people that have walked through it before. And I literally watched the light bulb go off in his eyes as he came to that amazing understanding. Oh my gosh, this person is safe for me here, 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 and here, but man, for my true spiritual growth, this person is not safe for me. All right? You might have friends right now that are safe for you, but they are not safe because of gossip. Right? They are not safe because they're only going to be an echo chamber to you. They're not safe for your growth. They may be safe for your comfort, but they're definitely not safe for your growth. And so the idea of true wisdom, we talked about last week, Proverbs 30, asking the question, Lord, tell me the truth about me. And here's the catch about this. This isn't just for our external life, this goes for our internal life as well. So if you look at the shepherd guiding the flock with his rod and his staff, okay? This goes for your thoughts, your desires, your wants, everything in between. If you think about it this way, do you have consistent places, not just people externally that you go to, but thoughts that you go to that God is going, that's a really good one. Stay there. That's beautiful. Rest in that place. And do you have other thoughts that you go to consistently in times of stress, anxiety, that God's going, oh, we need to walk through this. We need to keep going through this right now. There are places, though, valleys that we are to walk through. Notice it doesn't say flee. Notice it doesn't say sprint through. Notice it doesn't say avoid, right? It shows these two opposing ideas, this one place of nourishment and this other place as well, but it doesn't say avoid that, right? And so we are to respect both places and say both have something to offer me. And here's a really hard truth about both of these that we all have to admit, I think. Both of these ask us to wait longer than we are comfortable, right? So the places of prayer and in study and in true intimate relationship, we normally want to jettison just before we're there long enough, right? Just right when comfortable, whenever we're uncomfortable, that's when we want to get out. And it's just on the other side of discomfort. It's where true growth truly happens. Both in green pasture places. So how do you do it resting? Sitting, listening, right? In your world. How is that for you? And then on the other side of things, how do you do it walking through? Do you flee? Because I've sat with so many people and even done this in my own life, that instead of fleeing from desert spaces, you actually just laid down there. The part of you just laid down there. All right? And here's the thing about our God. He doesn't skip steps. The journey, the healing, growth journey that he has for you in your specific life, he doesn't skip steps, so he just waits for you there. I've had to do work in my own life to go back to that couch where I was watching ESPN and feel the feelings I was supposed to feel. I've had to go back there and invite Jesus into that space and say, Lord, What are you teaching me right now? Right? As I processed through those things, I began to undergo healing in my own life, right? And the beautiful thing as I underwent healing in my own life is then I could then be that safe place for others to undergo healing in their own life. And that's the thing. There are a couple different types of people as I share these things today that are sitting in this room. There are some that have been through incredibly hard things and you have done the job of overcoming and you are rooted in who God says you are, that when I say and I look at you, right, in the eyes and I say there's never been a moment that you're more loved than you are today, you know that to your soul. It is beautiful. You know that the God of the universe does not love future you more than he loves present you, right? He's not waiting for your performance. He just loves you, right? He's got a great life call that he's calling you to. Right? And he'd love for you to show up to that, but he doesn't withhold his love for your performance, right? And so when I say that, you are rooted in this. And so the people that are rooted in this place need to be continually looking, asking, say, Lord, who in my life right now, who can I help share and show who they are? Who can I help reintroduce to themselves? Because I know that if you were to sit down and you just draw a circle around probably the 10 closest people around you in your life that God has called you to influence, his place in your life, there is someone in that place that doesn't mean every area of their life, but someone needs some level of, I see you. Or, tell me more about why this is happening, because that doesn't seem to be you. Or, can we sit down and talk for a little bit? I just have some things to share about what you mean to me and who you are in my life, right? And so when we are in these beautiful places, we are full and we are nourished. Our job is to go bless others because, as the scriptures tell us, we are blessed to be a blessing, right? And so your job is to continually in your life look at this circle around me and go, okay, I'm blessed. Who am I to bless? I'm blessed. Who am I to bless, right? But there's others in this room right now that when I talk about this deep-seated, rooted understanding of who I am, you know that's not you. You know that there's places in you that are lacking hope, that are lacking understanding, that are lacking joy, right? And I wonder what it would be like for you to lie down for a while. I wonder what it would be like for you to invite some other people into your life and start to share the true things that are going on inside of you and ask for some help and to stay a while. And so here's the thing I've seen about both is that both require a level of waiting that most aren't willing to do. Right? Man, isn't waiting hard. Oh, I don't like waiting for a cheeseburger, right? I don't like waiting for my coffee, right? There's something in me that says this should happen in this amount of time, right? This level of healing should just happen consistently. And this level of becoming and being made new happens over time. It does not happen overnight. There are times, all right, the God of the universe can do anything. But often, instead of just giving us some great healing in our life, that we're going to enjoy for one day and then go right back to what we always knew. He walks us day by day by day into new areas of understanding and new areas of wisdom in our life. I wonder, have you ever stopped to ask, what is a green pasture for me? And then beyond that, what desert is he asking me to walk through right now? Both have their place, and wisdom lets both have their time under the sun, as Ecclesiastes tells us. And here's the beautiful thing about the gospel narrative, is that our sorrow can become our gift. From within our tender hurt, there can spring kindness, generosity, and love for others. In our grief and confusion, we mistakenly believe we have no offering to bring the family of the earth. But mere suffering cannot extinguish the priceless gift of our true nature. As soon as we begin to heal, the instant we experience some degree of inner clarity or spaciousness, in the very next breath, generosity naturally arises. As we feel the measure of our own strength, we simultaneously too experience a natural impulse to share it. How are you at waiting? when I think at when I think about Thanksgiving now, there's a different perspective I have, right? The day before Thanksgiving happens every year, and it's like a knob gets turned up in me, and I want to be more and more and more aware of who's making the mashed potatoes. I want to be more and more and more aware of who's here. I want to be more and more and more aware of the connection that I have with that person. It's really easy to show up to Thanksgiving of all days and just watch football, though, right? Right? It's really easy. But is that what we're here for? That's a joyful thing that we can share together, but that's the thing to share together, right? What losing my Grandma Helen has brought me is an acute sense of finiteness in this world. That every single Thanksgiving that I have now, every taste of mashed potatoes, right, and they'll never the same, right, without her, right, is a blessing, right? It's joyful, right? I now take, I'm thankful for each one of those moments where it's really easy for me to actually never show up to that moment. I could be there, but not really there. I can be there in my external life, but not really in my internal life, right? And so this is what wisdom's always pulling us back to, this deeper understanding of what's going on inside of me, and inside of that, this deeper understanding of what's going on inside of the person next to me, and us connecting on that level, right? When you truly, because you've done the work and you've waited long enough to undergo healing in your own life, you can then be that person for someone else. It's a beautiful thing. It makes us ask different questions, right? Instead of just asking why, and that's a really good first question, by the way. Really good. I needed to curse the skies. That was something I needed to do. That was part of my step. That was part of my journey, right? I needed to do this. But it needed to not stop there and go to ESPN. I needed to ask the next question. Like, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? What lesson is there to be had in this experience, in the loss of someone else, right? I, over time, and it took me a long time to be able to grab, oh my gosh, every moment is a gift. Why would I waste one of them, right? When we could lose it all in a second, right? Lord, what are you teaching me right now? So in your life, in your hard valleys right now, you may need to ask why, and that's a really good place to start, but don't stop there. We got to get to the better, the deeper questions, right? Lord, what are you teaching me right now? And past that, Lord, who are you calling me to become in light of this situation? What are you preparing me for? What are you doing inside of me, right? What green pasture are you leading me towards? And what lessons are you giving me in this desert place? There's deeper questions that are required in all of us. And I wonder, do we wait long enough to one ask them and then listen for the answer? Do you listen? Isn't it awkward when we just let a few moments of silence in, right? Here's the thing. There's this inner voice of love that knows just what to say about who I am and whose I am, all right? But here's the thing. I can stand up here and I can read from the scriptures and this the living word of God, and I can in a corporate way share truth, but the reality is, this is the beautiful thing. You ever just stop and realize that right now, at the same exact moment, that God knows everything that's going on inside of you? Like all the, everything, all the joys, all the hard things, everything in between. He knows the stresses. He knows what's coming up. He knows every single thing about you. And that's the next step of wisdom, right? Is to realize our job is not to just to come here and all of it get the same thing, right? This isn't in and out. There's not three things on the menu, right? Our job is to get that and say, what's for me? Like the God of the universe, like, looks into your eyes right now and he whispers love into you, but he doesn't just say love into you. He says what he needs to say into your soul. He says you're forgiven, or that I love you, or that I accept you, or that you're beautiful, or that you're brave, right? And my question is, do you ever sit long enough to hear that message, right? We hear the I love you message, but there's a deeper, more finite version of that message that you need to hear, and oftentimes it is rooted out of us walking out of and showing up to our deepest pain. So this pain that often we run from, but there is such beauty and such healing if we'll sit long enough and say, Lord, what are you teaching me through the loss of a loved one, through a diagnosis? Lord, what do you have for me here? This inner voice of love is calling to us. And it takes more than just a second of listening, right? It takes a true tuning of the ear and saying, I'm not moving from here. I'm going to wait for this. I'm going to wait for what you have to say for me. When life crumbles, right? Do you have a place you can crumble? Moms in this room. Do you have a place you can crumble? Is there a safe place for you to crumble and let someone else help put you back together again? We all need a really safe place that we can do hard work, right? And that can happen through counseling. That can happen through friendship, healthy friendships, right? We all need a place that we can crumble, right? We need a place that we can deconstruct all that we saw that the world was and all of our expectations of what was going to happen and allow the God of the universe to say, in light of everything that I see here, you are loved more than you could ever know in your entire life. You were accepted. You were treasured. You were beautiful. And you were called. All of those are true. Not only are you loved, and I'm calling you to be an agent of love to others, right? To experience this love. And because many of us don't sit and we don't wait for that filling, right? That truth, that consistent, there's been a few times in my life that God has spoke something into me so deep and so like, that I didn't even know how to process it at the time. And as I unpacked it, I went, oh my gosh, that was just for me, right? You ever left church just, that was just for me, right? That's not a mistake, right? We didn't write your name up on the board and be like, this is just for you. No, the God of the universe, the word is alive and he is speaking to you, but is continually alive. So I ask you, do you lay down in places that you were to lay down? And have you walked through the places that God has asked you to walk through? Some of us need to go back and walk through some really hard places, and you may just have to grab a few friends to walk through with you, and that's okay too. But I'm telling you right now, if we avoid these spaces, we miss the growth and the healing, the beautiful healing that we can have in our lives. Psalm 119 tells us and says, I will wait for the Lord to renew me. This happens both in the desert place and the green pastures. My question for you today is, will you wait? Will you wait? Will you wait for the good things in life? Will you wait for the message that your soul needs to hear? Not just your brain needs to hear, but your soul needs to hear. We just busy our lives up and we don't sit long enough for God to speak to our souls. What does your soul need to hear today? What encouragement do you need to hear? That you are beautiful, that you are loved, that you are seen, that you're valued, that you're wanted. God has something for you specifically to hear that is nourishment for your soul. And so we're going to spend some time today waiting. And my prayer is that you would walk into that space and you would open up your heart and open up your life to that space of waiting. Maybe you've never done that before. Wait on the Lord. So awkward. What a good thing. Right? Anything new that you're doing in your life, it's going to be hard at first, right? What an amazing thing to remind yourself, this is going to be hard, opening my heart up, my life up, because anytime we risk love, we risk, right? We have to open ourselves up, and that's going to be vulnerable, and that's going to be awkward, but the good stuff's always on the other side of that. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us and just spend a few moments waiting for it. I don't know what it is for you, but the beauty is the God of the universe does. And I'll say this too. This morning's just the beginning of waiting, right? There are moments that you may need to set aside in your life of waiting consistently to hear from him. It isn't just, okay, I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna microwave it right now and I'm gonna be good the rest of my life. No. This is the beginning. This is a continual daily renewal that we go back to God and we hear the thing that we need and we get sustained and we get nourished and we get energized in the way that we are built to be energized, the way that the God of the universe knows directly how to speak to our souls. So let this morning be a beginning for you in waiting.
see the light coming fast, and we feel the hope come at last, come at last. We feel the hope come at last. So wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Praise for it, praise for it, praise for it.